today.
The power of Facebook. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Have you friended folks on Facebook? Are you on the social networking site? The reason I say the power of Facebook right from the get-go is because all the conversation about the deficit and the debt ceiling and what do we do, how do we reduce, and how come we can't seem to balance a budget out of Washington. It affects all of us because it is our government, and after all, we're the taxpayers. Ultimately, we take it in the shorts if the people that we elect don't figure it out. So the president is, in fact, touring Facebook. How about that? He's the first head of state to tour Facebook, and he's going to have one of those town hall meetings talking about the deficit and his thoughts as to what the nation, what the Congress can do to reduce the deficit. Like I said, the power of Facebook. Right from the get-go, let me set the stage. Coming up at the tail end of the hour, we're going to talk about the Kentucky Derby, the fastest 2 minutes in sports, the run for the roses, some suggestions on horses, some information about horses, because we're doing a Kentucky Derby challenge in the next couple of weeks, meaning picking the horses. And you win some great prizes if you're in the money. All you have to do is come up with a trifecta. That's it. And I would just say this. If you come up with a trifecta and you hit it on this show, shame on you if you don't have money on it somewhere else. Not that I'm suggesting that we should all go out and gamble.
I was thinking the exact same thing as you were saying that. I'm like, what a buzzkill if you hit the trifecta and the only winnings you get are from the America Tonight show. Not that it's not a cool prize or anything, but
yeah.
Wow.
And we do have some cool prizes. We have some neat things that are happening, but certainly it's nothing like winning a trifecta at the windows, whatever you put down on it. I mean, there's a disconnect, I think, with people who just... And I get that, because I'm not a big gambler chick, but I understand it. So when you go to the track, you'll see people and they'll scream, woohoo! Like they've just hit like some amazing amount of money. And then it turns out they plunked down $2 on the favorite and they got like their money back in 50 cents or something. But it's all in fun. So that's all this is. It's all in fun. But you'll get some valuable information from TK Lawless. He knows the game. He knows all the players in the game. And I have met a lot of people in horse racing. And I think he's one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever met. I mean, he can just go back in history and tell you about any horse and who was the sire, what farm, how much is... I mean, it's just amazing stuff. But the things that you'll need to boil down on certain horses, you'll get from the end of that. Plus, it'll just get you juiced up and excited for the Kentucky Derby. That's the key thing. Also, we're going to talk about... Easter's coming up big time for one movie. What is it? The Ten Commandments. How many people listening to me can remember the parting of the Red Sea? Parting of the Red Sea. Favorite scene in the movie. Everybody would say that. And Stephen Showhead is going to tell you why it is a scene that seems to every single year rate really well. People tune in. They want to see that. There's something about how Cecil B. DeMille put that all together, how he pulled that together, and the amazing amount of people it took to make the Ten Commandments. We'll chat about that, plus the comparisons of former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and what he did in California and how he was elected versus Donald Trump, and who has fame of a different kind, and what he's been saying, and his obvious, I think, ploy to kind of feel out the public if they would vote for him, and the comparing of the two Republicans and their path to trying to get elected. Of course, one you're talking about president, one you're talking about governor, but Schwarzenegger wasn't shy about saying he would run for president in a second if he could. run for president. And Earth Day is here on Friday. So what about going green? Are we further along in the process of trying to go green? Is it a way to make money? Of course, it's a way to make money. But is there something to it? And I'll tell you what, we're going to talk to, I'm going to introduce you to a guy who has one really important statistic that you'll pull out of the interview. And it has to do with recycling and landfills. Now, for goodness sake, all of us can recycle, but yet people won't do that. For some reason, people don't recycle. In some states, you are forced to recycle or you could get fined if they go through your trash, depending on where you live. But not a lot of places have that. More often than not, it's voluntary. Are you at least separating your cans and your paper? I don't think it's that. Once you start to do it, it's not that hard. In fact, I think it makes the trash, which I hate dealing with trash, I think it makes it less sloppy. Yemen is the latest chaotic place on the map in the Middle East. Of course, that's not a surprise. We've known that. We've talked to our terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott, about some of the terrible things that are happening there and what a hornet's nest it is. Take a listen to what it sounded like. All right, so you get the idea. Thousands upon thousands of people protesting and violence escalating, not a good thing. You worry about Yemen and then also Syria, too, as well. Syria is still on the map as a problem area, and I think it's scary. It's an eeny, meeny, miny, mo kind of situation in the Middle East. So what happens next? And we're at the stalemate, by the way, in Libya. I want to say this quickly. This is my daily salute. Finally, one of the really bad guys got nailed. A jury convicted a majority owner of what was the nation's largest mortgage companies, one of them, on 14 counts in a $2.9 billion fraud trial that they say is probably one of the biggest significant things to come out of the financial crisis. Lee Farkas was behind this. He led a fraud scheme of unbelievable proportions for 8 years. He was the chairman of a Florida-based company, Taylor Bean and Whitaker, and the fraud caused the company's collapse in 2009. 2,000 people were out of work, but it also contributed to the collapse of another bank in Alabama, and it was the sixth largest bank failure in U.S. history. The jury returned the verdict. They nailed him for this. I think this is a good thing because people were cheated out of a whole bunch of money. And TARP at one point gave what they call conditional approval to a payment of about $550 million to the group. But luckily, Taylor Bean or Colonial didn't get any of that money because they investigated the FBI and some other agencies and they uncovered the fraud. Otherwise, they would have gotten money from the government on top of all of that. So bravo. Great decision by the jury. We're kicking the can down the road. Kick it with us.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Day, and there's a lot of conversation about going green, how you can become more green, or whether you think green is a bunch of nonsense, which I hope all of you don't think that. I know that there are people that are trying to do things that certainly, if nothing else, save on the bills even when it comes to electricity. Don in Wyoming is always talking about that. So Earth Day on Friday, what's happening in the green revolution? Matt Strong from Class One Solutions joins us. Matt, your company is all about going green, but you have a good line. You say you don't want people to, they can't go broke going green. I think that's a good distinction to make. Tell us what you do and how you try to make it cost effective for your clients.
That's right, Kate. Thank you. Class One is a sustainability consulting firm. So when we go to our clients, large corporations, our primary focus is to help them minimize their impact on the environment. And we have to show the client that their investment in our product is going to have a payback, because with the economy the way it is, and capital budgets being constrained, we have to show that green is smart. And like you said, my favorite phrase is to say, hey, we can't go broke going green. It in itself has to be sustainable. And as we know, sustainability is basically a focus on preserving the resources, the limited resources of the earth that we have now, so that future generations can enjoy a better quality of life.
And you're talking with you guys, you're on the technology side, on the commercial side. So you kind of run the gamut, am I right?
Yes, that's right. As far as sustainability in corporations, we look at helping them reduce their energy use, their waste generation, and improve their recycling. We also look at helping them with their sustainable purchasing. So it's everything from recycled content and paper, recycled toner cartridges, and even down to the chain or implementing, say, LED lighting programs within facilities.
Yeah, and what LED lighting? How much does that cut down for a corporation? Well, let's say you had a corporation that had, I don't know, 300 people that they housed.
Mm-hmm. What we like to use as a good barometer is that it'll typically reduce your lighting energy intensity by about 75%. So let's say you might have a 60-watt incandescent light bulb, just your typical household bulb that you see, and we can reduce that to around 13 watts. So you're talking about a huge drop in energy use there, just lighting.
Yeah. And you also mentioned, I mean, it's little things, too. It's what you were saying, going in and showing people. So the whether it's the paper and the cartridges and all that sort of thing, when if somebody says, recycling, just throw it in the bags, and what difference does it make? But that's not true. You can really actually save a bunch of money, can't you, by doing that?
Yeah, we have a client, a large food manufacturing client, that basically has converted their waste stream into a revenue stream. So they have taken millions of pounds of waste product and diverted it from the landfill, and now they are able to they're down to about a 1% diversion rate to landfills, and it's just amazing what large corporations can do when they really get serious about sustainability.
Yeah, and when you start with somebody, I mean, we'll take two different scenarios. If you start with somebody from the ground up, then you're working right there, boom, out of the gate on the design. That has to be fun. Have you taken anybody from that level where you started with the design, built the place, the whole thing, did the whole company for them?
Sure. We've worked with clients, and our primary focus is to go in to an existing facility because that's where we can make the biggest impact. So many of the existing structures today are so inefficient, and just to go in and replace major equipment, we're talking about central plant equipment, chillers, air handlers, motors, just changing those out with higher efficiency units is a huge payback. And that's where we get back to, making green pay for itself. So that's one of the great thrills that we have, and it gives us a lot of satisfaction that we can take a client or, from its initial steps into green and sustainability, work to implement upgrades within that facility, and then, also work with sustainable purchasing and recycle programs. And it's just a great opportunity for us.
And what about, and this is like, I know that the power argument, wind power, solar panels, what do you suggest there? What do you try to offer up to people?
What we like to do is, number one, throw out, renewables. Sure, everyone likes to see solar panels on roofs, and that makes a statement. But again, we get back to making investments that have good return on investment. And with today's economic climate, large corporations just are not going to spend money without having that payback. So we look definitely at solar if it makes sense, and there's other opportunities for wind. But really what we try to do is go into a facility and look where heat is already being generated. because heat is associated with either natural gas or electricity. And where that is being generated, if we can capture the heat and reuse it elsewhere in a plant or a manufacturing site, that's going to reduce the overall usage that that those sites have.
All right, we're speaking with Matt Strong from Class One Solutions. We're talking about going green. That's what his company does. Goes in, you've heard the conversation, goes in and shows people how to be more efficient. Give us some tips. What are some things people are listening, and maybe they're not in a corporation that's green, or maybe they're starting to go green, or whatever it might be. But personally, what are some things people can do to help the environment and not kill their budget?
Right. Well, you know what? There's already so many examples of green in everyday life, and it's really becoming commonplace. So we're already doing the online shopping. That's pervasive now, and everybody has taken that on. That's green. We've got online media, you know, the Wall Street Journal, journals, periodicals, magazines. So many of these are going away from print. And online movies, you know, Netflix is out there. Also, some simple things are coming to major metropolitan areas are like Zipcar. There's an IPO this past week of Zipcar that was very successful, and this is basically a local hourly rental program for cars. And there's also bike shares. You know, there's so many offerings now that it's just becoming common.
And, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, the when you said the thing about the when you said let me interrupt you when you said the thing about the bicycle and the bike share. I'm from back east, and that's starting to happen a lot in the east where people are doing that. And I love that idea. That's great if you're in a big city, don't you think?
Oh yeah, you know, it's all over Washington D.C.
Yeah.
And college campuses. And so it's definitely an up and coming trend, and it makes sense. So to me personally, I see green as or the success of green is how well we can simplify it, and I tell people on you know on a personal level, don't try to do everything. Just pick you know a couple of simple programs. Recycling. I live in Dallas, and we have a great single-stream recycling program. And I believe last year they saved 190,000 tons of waste from the landfill. And, you know, that has a huge impact on the environment. So, again, keep it simple. Pick one or two or three things, and then, you know, once you master that, move on and add another.
Yeah, so well said. That's true. It doesn't have to be so overwhelming. Just do the simple things. Keep it simple. Perfect place to end this. Happy Earth Day to you, Matt Strong, Class One Solutions, and thanks for hopping on America Tonight.
Great. Thank you, Kate.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Don't you just laugh every time the news plays another story about a foreclosure bank or attorney under investigation, bankrupted, or being sued? Zero Debt has a program that stops foreclosure, guaranteed for at least 2 years without payments or attorneys. In fact, we show our members how to get the banks to pay their taxes and insurance while they stonewall the bank's collection process. We show you how it's possible to quiet the title in your name by using the bank's very own foreclosure process. Loan modification is a joke. The banks use that to take your money with nothing in return and keeping you in default. You've heard our ad before. We are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Get free help now from ZeroDebtGuarantee.com or call to talk with others who have already used our system. We'll show you how to save tens of thousands of dollars by using the foreclosure process to your advantage and save your home. Call 800-477-9256, 800-477-9256, or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com, guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
It's been called the most exciting 2 minutes in sports and involves a bunch of three-year-olds. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Lil Drums. Every bit as fun as a full-size Nestle drumstick cone and definitely cuter. Visit us at drumstick.com. Vacations are all about family time, but you don't have to leave home to have fun. Take 1 weekend a month and devote it to family activities. Pull out the board games and puzzles, serve up some treats, or have a picnic. Even without leaving home, you'll feel like you've really had some time away. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Every year, the first Saturday in May, all eyes are turned toward Churchill Downs for the oldest horse race in the country. It all started back in 1875 thanks to Colonel Meriwether Lewis Clark, the grandson of William Clark. Remember the Lewis and Clark expedition? He made a jaunt of his own to England and Paris and saw two of the biggest horse racing events at the time. He was hooked, prompting Clark to build Churchill Downs and set up a race of the best three-year-old thoroughbreds. The first Kentucky Derby featured 15 horses. 10,000 people watched. The horse who wins the race has a shot at racing's Triple Crown if they move on to win the Preakness and the Belmont. Affirm was the last horse to do that in 78. The first race of the three is so popular people all over the world hold watching parties where many will sip mint juleps and wear fancy hats. Two of the very biggest traditions spawned from that race in Kentucky. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. Ah, yes, indeed. Coming up at the tail end of the hour, we're going to talk about the horses, some of the big ones that are entered in this year's Kentucky Derby, and what they might or might not do. This is crunch time for horse people, so that's coming up in another 15 minutes or so as we race toward the Kentucky Derby, a conversation with T.K. Lawless. Terrific guy, really. I think one of the most knowledgeable horse people around, knows the game and certainly has seen many horses come and go in his day. Each and every Tuesday, we talk to our pal Stephen Shohet from Hollywood Story, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. That's the name of his book, and it's a great, great read. Lots of exactly what the title says, lots and lots of stories. One of the things you'd be certain to read, I'm sure, when we talk about history and we talk about the history of movies and whatnot, Cecil B. DeMille, The Ten Commandments. How many times have you watched that, particularly this time of year? I probably think in my lifetime it's been about a dozen. Stephen, as always, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Oh, hey, Kay. How are you? Thank you.
I'm good. How many times have you seen The Ten Commandments?
I can't count. It's one of my favorite movies.
I love it, too.
You know, there are two movies to me. They're like going on a ride, sort of. So even if you've seen them a ton of times, you get caught up with it. It's The Ten Commandments and It's a Wonderful Life. And the one thing about The Ten Commandments, whenever they start to get close to the freedom, the exodus, and leading up to the parting of the Red Sea, the ratings go way up. So it's almost a tradition that more, you know, it's a long movie, 3.5 hours, and more people tune into it as the story, as they get deeper into the story.
What was the behind the scenes tale about Cecil B. DeMille making this? It had to be an incredible undertaking.
It was incredible. You know, it actually starts back in the 1920s. DeMille had a contest asking people what his next movie should be, and somebody wrote him a letter and said, if you break the Ten Commandments, they'll break you. And he paid the gentleman who wrote him that letter $1,000 and decided to make a silent film version of the Ten Commandments. And this was back in 1923. And you know, DeMille was such a determined filmmaker. You know, a lot of things went wrong. They transported the sphinxes up Pacific Coast Highway, and the tunnels were low, so a lot of them got decapitated. They had Orthodox Jewish extras, and the first day the caterer served ham sandwiches, so there was a revolt on the set. You know, all these problems that went way over budget. And finally, he got a telegram from Paramount Studios saying, when are you going to finish this? And he said, well, what do you want from me, the Five Commandments? And he finally finished the movie. It wasn't all about the exodus. Part of it was the exodus, and then part of it was a modern story set in San Francisco about two brothers, one who kept the commandments and one who broke them. And the movie made a ton of money, but you know, critics like Will Rogers were saying things like, it's easy to see where God left off and DeMille began. Anyway, as the years passed and the technology got better, he wanted to remake the movie, and of course there were new things going on, like CinemaScope, you know, in the 1950s, and he decided this time he would focus totally on the Exodus. And so he cast Charlton Heston. He wasn't the first choice, but he wanted William Boyd, who played Hopalong Cassidy on TV, but he turned it down. And Charlton Heston, the reason he got the role is because he broke his nose in high school. And DeMille had seen a bust of Moses with a chipped nose, the Michelangelo bust. And so that's why he felt Heston would be perfect for the role. And it was just an amazing endeavor making that movie. I mean, at the time, it was the most expensive movie ever made in history. The Exodus scene, there's no computer generation there. There's anywhere from 20,000 to 30,000 people in the scene. And DeMille did things like back in 1927, he made a movie called The King of Kings. And the star of that movie about Jesus Christ was an actor named H.B. Warner. Well, DeMille was always loyal to his actors, and H.B. Warner wanted to be in the movie, and he was desperately very sick. So DeMille sent a limousine to his rest home, picked him up. He was carried onto the set. He plays an old grandfather who wishes for a fig tree to be planted in the new world, and he did the scene, and then he went back to the rest home, and he died like a week later.
Oh.
And Yeah, and also DeMille himself, when he was doing the Exodus scene, part of it was in Egypt, part of it was in Hollywood. When he was doing the part that was in Egypt, he climbed up to the top of a ladder and started supervising everybody, and unbeknownst to his cast and crew, he actually had a heart attack, and he didn't tell anybody. He checked into the hospital, and then, you know, they said, well, I guess you're okay, and he was able to go back to the set the next day, and people didn't find this out till later on.
Wow, and the set was so elaborate. Somebody told me something. Is this true? They buried the part of the set, or some of the set was buried in the sands of Santa Maria, outside of Santa Maria, California?
That's right. That's for the silent version. Yeah, the silent one, the original one in 1923. In fact, they have a little exhibit up there, you know, like a DeMille tourism attraction. Yeah,
wow.
Because it was too much of a hassle back in the 20s to drive that stuff back to Hollywood. You know, especially with the low tunnels they had on PCH. So they decided to bury it in the sand dunes up there in Guadalupe, California.
And
it was, a tremendous hit. DeMille was such an inferno of energy, even when he was in his 70s. And I think you can see that with his actors' performances. Like, for example, when Charlton Heston comes into the temple to get the grain for the Jewish slaves, and he starts pushing people out of the way. I mean, that's the way DeMille liked to do things, you know, just bigger than life. You know, the critics, they never really liked his movies. I mean, I'm sure some did, but most of them, you know, would make fun of him and then say things like, oh, his movies are run of DeMille, you know, make these little remarks. But the public always, almost always appreciated his movies and gave it outstanding returns, especially this one, gave it outstanding returns at the box office.
Yeah, no kidding. And we'll be watching for that, certainly. We got to ask you this. You sent me a note about it, and I thought, oh, absolutely, we need to talk about this quickly. But in the world of politics, which I know you're a fan of watching what's going on, obviously we do that here on America Tonight, Donald Trump is speaking out about all kinds of things with Obama, and obviously people say it's either an act or he wants to run. And they're trying to compare, some people are trying to compare him to Arnold Schwarzenegger. What do you think the big differences are between Schwarzenegger and Trump?
I'll tell you, there's a couple big differences. Number one, the California recall in 2003 was a very compact period. It was only 2 months. So Schwarzenegger only participated in one debate. So he kept the lead pretty much. And Schwarzenegger did the typical thing. He went to town hall meetings, pre-picked crowds, put himself in a position where he was kind of a blank slate where people could write whatever they wanted to onto his tablet. I mean, for example, he would do things like saying, well, we're going to have an audit in California, and after we have the audit, I will decide what to cut. So he didn't have to be specific about what exactly he was going to cut. I don't think with this long time period that Trump will be able to avoid debates. I was thinking maybe he might because, you know, Arnold, to give him credit, and I'm not really a fan of his, but he was upfront about certain things like being pro-choice, for example. What Trump is doing, he's going around in interviews saying he's pro-choice, but he's talking about his personal life. He's not talking about the judges he would select. You know, if you look at his on Facebook, he has his preliminary platform. It says pro-life, but respects the laws that allow women to make the choice, which means he's going to put pro-choice judges on the bench, or at least he's leaving it open to do that. And so, you know, how long can he keep that up? In debates, that stuff is going to come out. There's also, another element that Trump's really going to have to consider, being a germaphobe, all the handshaking he's going to have to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a big deal. You got to shake a lot of hands. Always entertaining, Stephen Shohet. We'll talk to you again next week. You can pick up a copy of Stephen's book at any of the major book stores. Certainly go to Amazon.com. Hollywood Story, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie. Stephen, thank you. Have a great week.
You got it, Kate. Thank you.
Coming up around the bend, we're going to be talking about the Kentucky Derby, the horses. I'll tell you, there's a couple horses I like, including Uncle Mo, but that might spell trouble. Stay with us.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Freedom, the blistering anti-globalist anthem. Rock band Ravelin. Just one of 11 great songs from the album Under the Sun. Available on iTunes and at Ravelin.com. R-A, V as in victory, E-L-Y-N, Ravelin.com.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with OrganicaSeed.com. Easy because OrganicaSeed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to OrganicaSeed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. OrganicaSeed.com. Remember, OrganicaSeed is healthy seed.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Welcome back to America Tonight. I have a question for all of you listening. You know, we've got our big Derby challenge coming up. Mark it on your calendar. We're getting close. May 7th, Run for the Roses, my favorite day of the year. Here's a question. Will the factor be a factor? And how about Uncle Mo? Maybe neither of those horses are going to be in the money. Maybe it's going to be somebody completely different, like Dialed In, Nick Zito's horse. The man who knows all about horse racing. He is the guru of horse racing. I feel so fortunate to have brushed against his brilliance. He is gracing us with his presence. TK Lawless from Relentless Racing Stables joins us on ATN. Hey, TK, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Doing great. How are you?
Did you like that build-up? I gave you a princely build-up.
I tell you what, I may not be able to live up to that, but I'll do my best.
All right, first of all, let's talk about Uncle Mo, because that's the horse that a lot of people who maybe aren't even paying a lot of attention to racing keep hearing over and over again. Uncle Mo gets a lot of the press, but what would you say about Uncle Mo now at this point?
Well, I tell you, I could have saved them all a lot of money three or four months ago. I said at the time I thought they were making a huge mistake. You know, he was very impressive as a two-year-old, ran off in all three of his races, was champion two-year-old, you know, and won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Churchill Downs where the Derby's run. So there was nothing but a lot of hype about him. But, you know, he's my Indian Charlie. He's a little bit suspect on his pedigree to get a mile and a quarter. There's been some other Indian Charlies that, you know, were a little bit distance challenged. And he also had a very, let's say, less than ambitious schedule as a three-year-old to get him ready for the Derby. You know, they were going to just have two races. At first, they were going to go to Tampa Bay Derby and into the Wood Memorial. Then they called an audible there and went to the little race that was written for him at Gulfstream Park, a one-turn mile. He won that pretty handily, but it was really nothing more than an allowance race against, three or four, horses that didn't have much shot. They went into the Wood with not a whole lot of, bottom under him, if you will, and was beaten fairly soundly, actually ran third. And it wasn't a very good race, under any circumstances. I mean, he got away with a slow, easy pace early, and he still couldn't finish and was outrun by Toby's Corner. I'm trying to think of the horse that ran second who got injured recently. But so Uncle Mo ran a pretty lackluster third in the Wood. Supposedly came out of it with a gastrointestinal, if you will, virus, is the scuttlebutt at least. And so they're treating him for that. They're going on to Kentucky, and they're going to decide in, how he trains leading up to it. But as of now, he's still going to the Derby.
All right, so Uncle Mo might be out of gas, and the factor, from what I understand, I talked to someone today. I was talking to someone on the West Coast, and they were saying that the factor who was not in the Arkansas Derby, he was supposed to be the favorite, right? With all these victories,
he was home.
He went home in seventh place, rather. So he didn't take
right.
I mean, he didn't take the Arkansas Derby. He came in seventh place.
The people in Arkansas decided they would, maybe teach him a little bit of a lesson. Joe Petalino, the trainer on JP's Gusto, I guess he decided that, it was okay for Baffert to come in there and win, but he was going to have to earn it. You know, last time the factor came in from California, ran the Rebel Stakes and got an easy lead and went wire to wire and just drew off. Nobody challenged him early, and he just kept going. This time, going a mile and eighth in the Arkansas Derby last Saturday, they knew that he could get the distance if he was allowed to, walk on an easy lead. And so they decided that wasn't going to happen. JP's Gusto shot out of the gate, took the lead early. Dan City actually even hit it, the factor, and the factor was laying third down the backstretch. Horses hadn't raced but three or four times, and it was an unfamiliar position for him to be back behind horses, and he didn't take to it very well.
Right. Wow. So that sounds like to me that I don't know that I want to put my money in that direction.
Well, there have been some questions as to his pedigree as far as getting a mile and a quarter for the Derby anyway. A mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May is a pretty tough thing, even for talented horses. Everything has to fall just right. They have to have the maturity, that early in May. Some of them, there's been horses in the past that won the race that were not even actually three on the calendar. They're all three on January the 1st. So, his pedigree is such that he could probably get the distance maybe even a little bit better than Uncle Mo, but his seasoning wasn't as much. And like I say, he got in behind horses the other day for the first time, and he wasn't real keen on it. It'll be interesting to see what Baffert decides to do with him. I think they're both – I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't go unless he's got an injury or something minor wrong with him. I would expect that he and Uncle Mo will still go to Kentucky. But we'll find out here in the next 3 weeks.
All right, two horses I heard that had great had the fastest workouts in the morning. They did a couple of workouts. Decisive Moment and Stay Thirsty. That was on Sunday at Churchill Downs.
Right.
And they turned in some really, really good times. So are they horses to look at?
Well, I tell you, they're going to have to step up, obviously. Decisive Moment, he's run around the country and been in a lot of races, but he's been pretty much, he's run third and fourth and things like that in a lot of the prep races. So they're going to have to step their game up, but it's always nice to know that your horse, takes to the track at Churchill Downs, because it can be a little bit quirky at Churchill. A lot of horses, first, that's why some people like to get in there early, two or three weeks before the Derby and give their horse two or three works over it, because it's a lot of horses need to, to get used to it. So it can be a little bit odd.
Yeah. Who do you, of course, they're saying 20 horses, it always starts off that it could be a big
there's
field.
Always,
and you don't know.
20 nowadays,
Yeah.
And they hadn't scared anybody off. Had Uncle Mo ran off in the Wood Memorial and the Factor ran off in the Arkansas Derby, I think maybe there would have been a possibility that maybe, there wouldn't be a full field of 20. I, recently, though, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's pretty much a 20 horse field, and people, you know, sometimes people show up that maybe shouldn't, but it's such a spectacle now that, you know, if you've got any chance at all of going, people want to go just to be there. You know, Dialed In, Zito's horse was very impressive. I actually had him in my stable mail as a horse to watch when he broke his maiden last November in his first start of his life at Churchill. And he came back and won the Holy Bull, his second start of his life when the allowance race didn't fill. He's a little bit short on seasoning, too, but he did win the Florida Derby coming from off the pace, way off the pace, in a real speed favoring track that day. You know, the problem he's going to have in a 20-horse field is he's got one running style. He drops way back and makes that one run. You know, Julian Leperoux has been able to get him in the right position in a couple of these prep races, and he's been able to get up and win. But in a 20-horse field, that's going to be that much tougher. But, you know, Zito's pretty good at the Derby, and, you know, Robert LaFena, the owner, you know, they had Warpass Champion Tour a few years ago, and they had Icebox that ran second last year. So, I mean, they know how to get there.
All right.
I think obviously Dialed In's run good enough prep races to win it, but he's just going to have to get the luck of the trip. You know, he'll have to get one of those Calvin Burrell up the rail between horses, never a stick in his path, that type of trip to come from dead last in a 20-horse field.
Yeah, no kidding. Somebody wanted me to ask you this. We only have a couple of minutes left, TK, but how about Mucho Macho Man?
Hey, you know, he's a good story, and he's kind of my sleeper right now. He's going to be a little bit forgotten. He was very impressive in the Risen Star down at the fairgrounds in New Orleans. He came back in the Louisiana Derby and threw a shoe right out of the gate. He stepped on himself and ripped his shoe off, so he ran around on, with a little bit of a messed up foot, and the shoe ripped off probably for the whole mile 16th race. It's an odd story. He's a June 15th baby, so he won't even be a 3-year-old, and he's like 17 hands, so he's kind of a boy in a man's body. He's just kind of learning, you know, and there'll be a lot of press on him because his trainer, Kathy Ritvo, you know, had a heart transplant. You know, not to mention that now they've got the village people are all on board with Mucho Macho Man, so they found out they've got a horse running one of their namesakes, and so that horse is going to get a lot of publicity and press, and I do think he's kind of a sleeper who may be a little bit forgotten by the betters.
Yeah. Have you? We've got a minute left, but just a quick story. You've been to the Derby? Have you been to the Derby before?
I've been to the Derby one time. It's probably been 16, 17 years ago, and you know, we've been to the Breeders' Cup a lot of times, but I just happened to go to that Derby that once, and that was it.
Who won the year you went? You remember?
Unbridled.
Oh, you went on a good year.
Yeah, he ended up winning the Breeders' Cup Classic that year also. So
yes.
he was a pretty nice horse. He was one of my favorites for a long time. Even he was a little bit of one of my favorites before even, but he came to be one of my favorites after that too.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was just a wonderful horse. TK, we want to pick your brain as we get closer to the Derby. Can we do that?
Sure, no problem at all. We got there'll be some other horses, Arch, you know.
And others to talk about.
Derby, and that, there was probably more people in the winner's circle there than there was when your cousin won it with Smarty Jones. You know? that was a Hot Springs festival. I'm sure there was a big party in Hot Springs that night with Jinx Fires, the trainer, being from Hot Springs, and John Court, his son-in-law, rode the horse, you know. So it was a family affair, and it looked like there was, you know, 150 people in the winner's circle.
Yeah, I bet. So there's another tip for you. TK Lawless, Relentless Racing Stables, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.